As was mentioned, my name's Joe Schurz, and I work with Larimer County's Department of Health and Human Services. I used to work with the Health Department for about 10 years before I transferred as a business analyst in the Health and Human Services. So now I have Human Services, the Workforce Center, and a lot of other agencies. And Larimer County, to give you some location perspective, it's in Colorado, and we're north about 60 miles from Denver. So Colorado State University is right there, and we have Estes Park and Loveland too. So it's a fun place to go and visit. What I'll be talking about is our specific project, kind of why we've decided to do this, and why we've undertaken the effort overall. There's been a lot of investigation for us. We have a data system that we're going to actually be replacing with our new package that we're developing. We've been using it for about 7 years, and before that we used another system that we custom built in-house to run our services for about 7 years before that. So we have a history of built in-house, purchased vendor solution, and now we're going back to a built in-house solution from that standpoint. So one of the reasons, we're running into this a lot, and some of you may have heard this presentation earlier, something similar to this, or you're just experiencing it. We get stuck with discrete applications. So each program area in our organizations at a local level expects their own specific software solution to solve their own specific need. Well, the problem with that is we end up with 20, 30 different software systems that don't talk to each other, don't communicate at all, and actually ruin any kind of efficiencies and workflows. So we have a financial impact by implementing lots of various data systems. We get federal requirements, we get state requirements, and we get local requirements for delivering services. And trying to come up with something that actually achieves those needs is very difficult. So some advantage of those discrete software packages, I mean, there's some really good reasons to use them. Certainly, they are very efficient for what they do. They know their domain, and they're going to implement it very effectively. A huge disadvantage to health departments is we have to have lots of them. So when we look at trying to do something, we have to have a lot of expertise in a lot of different areas to actually get the most out of those systems. And unfortunately, as you may have seen, there's a lot of studies about this, but about 64% of your applications aren't used, the features within those applications. So you implement these very, very powerful systems without actually utilizing what the power can give you. So you want to distill those down to really usable elements that we're going to implement and actually effectively develop. So this kind of builds on that concept. We've at the state, local, and federal levels, we have various systems. I just put three up there. We have a food system. We have a family planning application that the state uses. And we have an immunization tracking system. And we're expected to use all three of those independently. But we have the same clients or staff that actually utilize those services. So this person receiving family planning services also receives immunizations. Well, how do you deal with communicating those two things? Well, we're saying, well, key them into both systems. So we're doubling the demographic data. We're creating duplicate IDs across our systems. And we don't actually get to coordinate that and know really what's our true client base that we're serving. So this discrete design allows for good penetration. So we achieve the local, we achieve the state, we achieve the federal, and actually a good base across the organizations, but rarely do they share information, and very infrequently, if ever, do they actually share their workflows. So how do you accomplish that? And so we approach public health ethos in this concept. We said, you know, let's not try and solve everything, because we can't. We're a small health department, or what I consider small. I guess we're medium. I came from San Mateo County, California, moved to Colorado, and the population size dropped dramatically, and I'm told that I'm a medium to large health department. I'm like, wow, that's very interesting. Well, public health ethos is trying to achieve this for a local level. We're not trying to solve a state problem. We're not trying to solve a national problem. We're trying to solve local workflow issues. So our goal is to penetrate where possible as deep as possible in our application design to achieve at least to the state reporting level and leverage our partnerships with the state and with federal reporting and with interchange rules like XML, messaging, HL7 for communication protocols within our hospital organizations, leverage our partners to share information as opposed to building the entire application within this one release or one solution. So with our system, we have three high-level goals. Ethos in general, my health officer came up with that name, and she said, well, really, good ethos is to share information, work together, work collaboratively, and not reinvent the wheel every single time. So that's where she came up with that name. We kind of then adapted it in. But our goal is to build a comprehensive local public health, I should specify, management system. We want to create good data extraction and collaboration routines so we can share information across multiple systems. And we want to publish this application as a Microsoft.net open source solution. So it's a little bit different than what you may see in a traditional, what people might consider traditional open source development. Why aren't we using Red Hat? Why aren't we using Java environment? I taught Java. I actually like the language. but that's not what health departments use. We use Microsoft solutions. We have SQL servers. And so I want local health departments to be able to adapt and grab the software solutions as best as possible, and that means using what they use, making it easy for them to get programming help and cheap programming help where necessary. So our first focus on the highest priority items. We want to throw out the 40 to 50% of the software systems we don't use. We looked at the features. We have a scheduler. It's a really nice scheduler. We just broke that down. That's our first module we've actually just released. And we looked at it, and we actually threw out about 80 to 85 features. We had a whole list, and we said, well, you really only need this. And when we boiled it down, our workflow became more efficient. The information we collected was better. And actually, the process of getting people in and out has actually been improved by doing that. So following through on those standard practices was actually a very good thing for us. We didn't want to just focus on Larimer County. We wanted to gather information from multiple health departments, local health departments. So we actually got early on, a year ago, we started working with Northeast Colorado Health Department, Boulder County Health Department, and Jefferson County to try and establish common workflows in business process. So we focused on the business process first before we started to design application systems. That's where we see a lot of challenging efforts when we try and pick a software solution. We say, well, here's our workflow. Can you adapt to it? It's very difficult to see that working in a lot of cases unless you actually custom build the solution. With that in mind, you have to build a solution that's flexible enough so that any workflow can adapt to it. And that any words are, that's a double-edged sword. You can't really rely on that every time. But you really want to do as good a job as possible, make it generic enough so that people can adapt their workflows to it. And then from the other side of it, we had to have a single interface. We looked at a system and we actually had the screens changed in design and their use. So save buttons were in the bottom right corner, then they moved to the upper left corner, depending on which module you were in. We're like, okay, there's got to be some consistency of design. I don't want to train each person, well, if you're giving an immunization, do it this way. Well, if you're actually not giving immunization, but you're actually giving some prescriptions, do it in this manner. Well, that gets very difficult. It makes it harder to train your staff, especially when the service providers are expected to do multiple different activities. Our next objective was to create good data extraction routines. We participate and work and watch, actually, those data standard protocols all the time. So we really want to focus on creating open database architectures, as well as extraction routines that share with messaging services like the FinMS and other services. We want to work with our, for us, the Colorado Immunization System. We're working with HL7 messaging so that we can share our data and directly receive data back and forth. If we can succeed in doing that, they provide an immunization system to us. We provide them data. We don't build an entire immunization management system into our application. Because we tried that once when we tried to release our system, and I was stunned at how many times I was asked to change the immunization protocols. So who gets what shot, when, and why? And the nurses are great. They'll grab that card, they'll look at it, and they'll go, perfect, I know exactly what shot I have to give them. I'm like, how did you decide that? What's the logic that you put behind that? And like, well, it's experience. Well, how do you build that into a data system when it changes every 6 months to a year? So it's very difficult. We don't want to have to rewrite it every time. The last thing, which kind of gets us a little bit of frustration from some people, especially a lot of my open source Red Hat friends, publishing it as a .NET open source solution. Well, we want to have it open source to release the application to a community that uses it. We want anyone to build and add on to the application. It's definitely a growing community. The Microsoft.NET open source development has been growing. It's definitely not as widespread as what we're seeing in the other packages, but it's out there. But also by building it in Microsoft C#, and using SQL Server as our database, most health departments have the infrastructure in place to utilize the software once it's released. I talked a little bit about how we're trying to design and throw out the stuff we don't use. We implemented with this development model not only design patterns to actually make our developers a little bit cleaner in design and how they're actually releasing their code, but we actually adapted and are starting to use this Scrum Agile methodology for software development. So we have a core product team of product owners, which is our subject matter experts. And they literally are, we have nurse practitioners, we have immunization nurses, managers, all on our product team actually creating stories on what needs to go into these packages. And they have to commit a significant amount of time to the project, which was something that was very hard to sell initially. The traditional software development doesn't really work in this model if you're really trying to release things as you go. And so early on trying to convince people, really you have to invest a lot of effort on the business side to get what you want. That was a hard sell at first, and we're actually very fortunate. We've been doing this for a little bit now, and it's actually worked out really well. Our development team estimates that effort, so they basically look at what stories we've given them or what we want as a requirement. They look at it, and they say, well, that's really, really big or really, really small, and somewhere in between, we select what should be done based on that business value. So we only do the things that return the highest business value in the shortest amount of time. So there are things we are leaving out of the system that may not, that may, we may want, but may not achieve those two standards of high value minimum development time. The end result is actually we write and complete code every 2 weeks and publish it for our users to actually work with. We will be going into production in 2 weeks with the first module of our package, which was our scheduler. We wanted to try and roll this out as a phases. And so scheduling appointments and visits and getting people in and actually matching services was our first model. And we're actually going to push that to production and actually release that code to the community, hopefully in about 4 weeks or so after we put it through its paces in the first 2 weeks. But every time we complete a sprint, we release the code to the users. They give us feedback. We make changes where necessary, where the business value again is achieved. And then we continue moving on through development. So our project, it's an 18-month development project. It has 39 sprints. You may hear that term if you go to other kind of agile projects. We have three core teams that I mentioned. Our project modules have been broken into three groups, highest priority items. Those are our scheduler, patient management, demographic data, medical records, billing we may or may not have in that. We may actually contract with clearinghouses to provide that service. The immunization tracking modules. So that's our highest priority first release set. And the second release items, we may or may not do. We're hoping that the community eventually will be able to build onto that as well. So we'll see. We just completed our fourth sprint cycle, and actually we finished our scheduling module. We finished it actually 2 weeks early. So we're actually adding on the niceties now that we kind of threw out. We're like, well, we don't really need them, but we'll get there. So this is kind of a high-level diagram of what we're trying to achieve. We actually ended up with, I think, 40 bubbles when we started designing it. And we're like, can we consolidate some of these things? And so these were our highest elements that we really wanted to make sure were in that package initially. We don't have internet access. So I only have screenshots to show you the application, so I can't actually show you the live running app. We actually do have it in production and running, but that's one of those challenges. Certainly, I'll leave my business card, and you can find information online and get the source code when you want to see it. But our first module was our scheduler. We wanted to manage our nurse and doctor schedules, manage our client base, manage our appointments, locations that we provide services at, and also those clinic appointments. So I'm going to just go through some of those screenshots and kind of how we laid it out. It is a web-based solution, so any browser will actually run it. So even if you don't like Internet Explorer, you can use Firefox. Actually, it runs better in the Firefox environment, as we found the controls do a better job. So when we schedule a client, we broke things down. Actually, how do I go back? There we go. When we broke down our appointment schedule, we actually found out we only do three things when we schedule appointments, really. Which was kind of an interesting dynamic. The entire system we had before had like 40 menus and lots of different choices and lots of configuration stuff. But when we boiled it down, what is your real core business process? What are you really doing? Like, well, I want to schedule an appointment. I want to find somebody who's got an appointment, and I want to see who's coming in. That was it. So we added those links right to the homepage of the site. And when they click in there, they actually get right to where they need to go right away, which actually saved them a tremendous amount of clicking time. So this is just going through the schedule wizard, and I tried to break it down into something that was sort of logical. So we can search on a variety of data fields to try and find somebody. We haven't implemented a Soundex system. We're looking at how we're going to implement that. We do a first search, but the list that we provide back tries to give enough information to decide what to do next. You select the client, You get a list of gaps where you could potentially be seen for a specific service that we're trying to deliver. And based on that gap, you then get to drag and drop the start time to the appointment. So this is going right to a person giving an appointment, and when they're done, you tell them, hey, please come in at 7:55 a.m. on that day, and you'll receive your blood draw. We did build in lead time, so you can think about when somebody, we try to optimize our nursing time. So when you're seeing the nurse, that's not the appointment. The appointment tells the person it takes us 15, 20 minutes to check you in for this thing. That's lead time, so you're told to come in for that 15, 20 minutes. The time on the nurse is then blocked to keep them going kind of room to room. Since we implemented something like that, we actually increased our visit counts for our family planning services like 30 to 40% having a scheduler automated versus the old appointment book that you'd basically just go through and say, okay, it's an hour slot. Well, really, it's a 15-minute service, but we only have hour slots, so everything gets in there. So we implemented that. This is our appointment report. We tried to kind of show it. It doesn't show really well here. It looks okay on a screen usually, but basically each person, we have a reproductive health nurse, and they have a start time, plan, leave, and end time. So we tried to coordinate how people were going to utilize the system. The client view, very basic for a scheduler because we may never see this client again. They might create an appointment and never show up. Don't collect unnecessary information on the phone for your staff time that you may not need. Collect it when they actually show up. That also means that we don't link the two records to our main cashiering system. So for our patient record data set is different than our scheduling record data set. When the client comes in, we merge the two records so they can hook. But in general, you don't want to clutter your search engine with all that extra clients that never showed for their appointments. This is the template builder for our nurse schedule. So you can say, here are their office hours, here's their lunches. Blocking out the facility. We actually didn't realize how painful it was to close a building until we actually tried to use a computerized scheduler. So that was one of the highest priority features. It was the funniest thing ever when we got this. What do you want to do? We want to be able to close the building. Like, really? That seems pretty simple. You put a sign on the door. It's like, it's not simple. If you have nine nurses, you have to block out nine nursing schedules for a day. Well, just the holiday alone became very painful. And so we had to put in a simple close the building days, and it just closes for everybody. Nobody can see appointments on those days. It sounds simple, but it really isn't implemented in a lot of places. For more information, you can go to our website at larimer.org, Department's Health. We also have a integrated sanitary inspection system, which is food, daycare, and services that we're actually, it's going to open source with this package as well. The project website, which is on SourceForge, is Public Health Ethos, but it's phethos.org. And hopefully after 9:15, we will publish that first set of code that you can download and install. We initially will not have an installable MSI package for you to do. You're going to have to actually follow some instructions, put your SQL, your IIS server up there, install the SQL runtimes. But over time, we hope to actually build. We're going to contract with somebody to actually write an install package to make it easier for local, small health departments, rural nursing authorities, things like that, to just install it and have it on their system. And then I did link Microsoft's open source site. There is some interesting stuff out there. And then also the article that I referenced in there on the growth of open source over time. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
Questions?
This is a very impressive project you've done with the local health department. Can you tell me about how the will came about to create a project like this? And then more importantly, where are you getting the funding?
It was an interesting challenge. What actually happened, we formed a state and local health information technology group. And it turned out that we got really lucky. We all wanted to replace our data systems at the same time. And the quotes came in and we couldn't afford it. And so that became very difficult for us. We're like, great, so we'll limp along our existing system and not make it work. So we said, well, that's not gonna work. What we did is the Larimer County Department Larimer County itself has an internal IT development group, and projects that we present can be reviewed for that and actually receive the development resources at no charge to the outside departments if it's the highest priority project at the time. So we did a presentation, a lot of work for our internal group, and actually our IT services were included by the county, so they gave us those services. We saved money to replace our systems, so we actually used that funding to actually backfill our nursing time. So we were effective in that, actually getting enough resources together to do the project. ultimately, when we did the analysis on the return on the investment of doing this, we're actually going to save $25,000 to $30,000 a year by building it ourselves over its 7 to 10 year life cycle. So based on just our support model that we have with our internal group. So even if no other department uses this, no other health department uses this, actually it's still a benefit for Larimer County ultimately to do it. So for us, it made sense, well, since we're going to do it anyway, let's find partners and release it so that not everybody has to spend their money doing it again and again. So that's kind of how we did it. It's a replacement of our current application. We will leverage some existing applications that integrate into it. So EpiInfo, we're not going to write a package like that. We're going to just try and adapt what that is and try and share the database model behind the scenes for that information.
I saw you said before you were
going to
be working on any test results piece.
Yes, laboratory response stuff.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
At the local level, definitely. So hopefully we can get a message from our local labs that actually provide the information. We have the ability to do it. We it's kind of in our community because we're focused only kind of in Colorado at the moment. The hospitals are, we have really 3 or 4 hospital systems, so we can partner with them to actually get the data communication working effectively. As this branches out, that's going to have to be one of those protocols that get built. Each location might be a little bit different, especially when you get to rural areas where they may not have any ability to do any of the development. So we're going to have to leverage some standard protocols for sharing laboratory test results, things like that.
Yes, please.
So the question, I don't know if it was integrating the efforts into the Colorado Rio. Hopefully, there's in our community, they're talking about forming a local Rio as well in northern Colorado with Banner Health and Poudre Health Systems. So hopefully we'll be able to integrate in that as well as the other one. They do use I believe it's an HL7 communication messaging standard for sharing that data. So from that perspective, we should be able to do that. The challenges there become more personnel and security based than a technical problem. It's not a technical issue, really. It's more of a how do you break down and get the communication rules and the business agreements to do it. It's an interesting one. Our development staff, we have 6 full-time dedicated programmers to the project. So we have them for 18 months. That's the commitment, and they have been able to achieve each sprint. So based on the story impact, we actually, our third sprint, they got really optimistic, and we actually slowed down on our fourth sprint because after we did our review from that process, we said, we're going to burn you out real fast. But they were so excited, they wanted to go, and they actually committed to a lot. They delivered it, but they delivered it at the cost of working overtime to get it done. So we have a more realistic, I would say, velocity. If you're familiar with the Scrum terms, velocity is how fast you can develop features in a certain amount of time. We slowed the velocity down a little bit to make it more realistic so we can keep that pattern going, that kind of process for the whole 18-month development cycle. That's our goal. So, yeah.
What's the population of your county?
Oh, I should have looked that up. I think it's 300,000 people, somewhere around that.
6 dedicated developers of county IT.
For this project, yeah. We actually have a larger IT group. We have other support groups related to it. Let's say it's around there. It might be higher. That might be just Fort Collins. I'm sorry. I'm not really good at the population size.
In my state, you would never see that.
Well, I don't know if that's good or bad. So, depends. We do a lot of internal development for our group.
It's good to see an example of that. Yeah.
Thanks. Yes.
Can you speak a little bit to the implementation of the agile methodology? How do you
Definitely. yeah, it was a bit of a challenge, even for me. I'm a certified project manager, so even bridging the traditional project management methodology with Agile was a challenge even for me. We did a lot of work and effort on that initially, trying to talk about how it would work, how we would develop stories, so we had a lot of meetings. We also brought in a trainer for 2 days from the Scrum Alliance, and actually came in and taught not just our development team, but we actually had our nurses in the room for the training. So actually, what's really funny is our core team with our health officer, nurse practitioners, receptionists, they're all certified Scrum Masters right now, which I thought was kind of an interesting approach. But that was one way I could say, well, let's get them all trained together so we can talk. After we did that, our stories got infinitely better from before. I mean, before we'd submit a story and we'd say, what's the estimate? And you do these relative size estimates, so they go thing. And like, how about infinity? I don't know what I'm supposed to do on these stories from the developer side. And I understood that I've been a developer. And so I look at the stories, I have no idea. After we did that and talked about the how to write them, how to do the value, and spend a lot of effort on that, our stories got so much better when we went into the actual estimation for our first module. Not one of our stories was rejected. We do a go, no go on a story. I can estimate it or I can't. We do one round with everything. None of them were rejected. So we got really lucky by spending the money on the training up front, saved us a lot of effort moving forward.
Was that a
county
decision?
No, that was my project team. So Dr. LeBailey, my scrum master for my project, which is Robin Ray, and then as a project manager, we got the resource together. The IT department covered half the cost, the health department covered the other half for the training. Definitely, and you see value. The other advantage you have with it is you can decide earlier on you're not getting what you wanted,
right,
and you can cut your losses a lot earlier than a traditional development.
Absolutely. When your users see it right away, I mean, you've got like touch and feel right away, so it's not like something sits on a shelf, you know, compared to like more traditional means. But so yeah, people see it, they say, okay, yeah, I like this, I don't like that. You can,
they do, because they can see what they asked for is there. They're willing to ask for different things and better. We started early on, I want to say, about 3 to 4 months before development began. We sent NACHO some information, so we're going to coordinate with them a little bit to get the word out. We've also worked with we have a School of Public Health that's a virtual campus, and we're working with them to get surveys in and out so that we can do that deployment. The goal is that we build enough mass so that local health departments can use it. We can all leverage together. And actually, the long-term goal, as my director's goal, is that we find somebody that's willing to pick up the package and do the long-term support moving forward and do additional support installation for those locals so that Again, it goes back to that the previous presentation where we said, well, software open source doesn't necessarily mean free. You're going to want to have support and maintenance options. We'll have it internally, but the local county can't support every health department. So we have to come up with partners, find partners out there that are willing to support the package. That's going to be the biggest challenge first, is trying to find who can you go to for support. Is there going to be a community that you would trust to do that? Or do you have to have a vendor that's willing to do that? I think we have to build that too, along with get the word out to all the locals.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much.
Thank you.